Welcome to Mental Health Success Stories with John Troutman. Here we provide a space for authentic conversations about real-world mental health challenges. We discuss mental health solutions with national industry leaders. We aim to reduce stigma and increase awareness around mental health issues. We will inspire you to take action and improve your own mental health. We will share and promote realistic mental health solutions that anyone can implement. This podcast is provided to you for information purposes only to encourage a broad public understanding of various mental health topics. The podcast may represent the views and opinions of the author, host, and/or guests, and not necessarily the views and opinions of Pyramid Healthcare. Information contained in this podcast should not be relied upon as medical advice or as a substitute for medical advice. This podcast does not establish any doctor-patient relationship and is not a substitute for individual clinical judgment. If you need medical advice or you are experiencing a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. And now here is our host of Mental Health Success Stories, John Troutman.
Hey, welcome everyone to another awesome podcast episode. We've got a wonderful guest here again today. I am so excited to have my good friend and brother, Lester Morales, with us here today. Lester, thanks for joining us.
JT, I'm stoked about this and always fun to be hanging out with you, my friend.
It is always a great time. And usually it's at zero dark 30 in the gym. So this is an anomaly when the sun is out in the middle of the day, kind of a scenario. But yeah, actually, when our watchers and listeners are soaking this in, it's going to be fourth quarter. So I am so grateful you could join us here today.
I'm excited. I like the subject, obviously. And, I think at the end of the day, anytime people can get together to try to make an impact, I think it's always going to be good.
Yeah. And that's what this is all about, right? We're talking mental health. We're talking about interviewing leaders in our industry, asking them, you know, what challenges have they gone through when it comes to their mental health and how have they been better? So I'm certain there's got to be at least someone out there watching, listening here today for the very first time. And maybe they've never been introduced to Lester Morales. So from a professional standpoint, what's a good overview and maybe some things you're even working on now, Lester, that can give people a better understanding professionally about you?
Yeah. So I always say and introduce myself, I'm okay saying that I am a insurance nerd. I love everything to do about it. My degree is in risk management insurance. JT, this is all I have ever done from degree to every job I've ever had since college has been in the employee benefits in the healthcare space. I run a company called Next Impact. I run that company out of San Juan, Puerto Rico. So I was actually born here in Puerto Rico and got an opportunity about 6 years ago when I leaped into entrepreneurship to come back to the island for some business benefits, but also to impact this island. And so it's been an amazing journey. As a business, Next Impact is a advisory and marketing firm. We build high performing health plan. So think of when I got to access healthcare, you think of accessing healthcare, there's the two most confusing things about that: health insurance and healthcare. Where do I go? What's a deductible? How do all that happen? We build health plans that take into consideration a couple things. One, there's an advocate helping the member, the employee of a group and their family member, understand healthcare, ask all the questions they need to. So there's a concierge, if you will, healthcare Sherpa, helping them navigate the healthcare system. And it's because of a couple of key pillars. One, the cost and the quality of healthcare changes depending on where you go. That MRI and that MRI are not the same cost. Even the last place person that walked across the stage at med school is still called doctor. And so we help patients get to the highest quality, lowest cost healthcare. And so that's all we're about. And it really stems from, and I know you know this story, my passion. Both of my parents, unfortunately, have passed away from cancer. Mm-hmm. My dad was diagnosed when I was 15 with multiple myeloma. My parents had to file bankruptcy after his medical expenses. And unfortunately, my mom was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. So I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of healthcare. It's really what's driven my entire career. And after spending 15 years doing it the normal way at some of the largest firms in the world, I decided to be a salmon and swim upstream, do it the hard way, but do it the right way. So it's been a great journey. It's going to lead to a lot of the conversations actually we had here, because as you know, doing it the right way is not the easiest way, and not the easiest way. It's hard. And there's no way to explain it. It's hard.
Yeah. And you're so passionate about impact and making a positive impact, right? And that just takes time. It takes a lot of effort, takes a lot of focus, energy. You kind of went into some personal things there about who you are. Give our audience a good snapshot from a personal standpoint, maybe some things they may not know about your past or some things that you like to do, or just a better understanding of who Lester is.
Yeah. So I would say I'm one of those people, JT, that I can't suck at anything. So when I get into something, I do it obnoxious. Like, I don't half-ass anything. So as you know, I'm into fitness. So it's not just, hey, I go to the gym. Like, I'm up at 4:30 like you are. I'm a 6-7 day a week kind of guy. And a lot of that isn't about physicality, although I like to, you know, be able to wear slim shirts and you know, take off my shirt at the beach. But a lot of it's up here, right? That's that 45 minutes that I can get in the zone. I don't think about anything other than, you know, slamming that ball or lifting that weight or doing that burpee. So super into fitness and living an active lifestyle. So I'm a pretty healthy eater. I was actually just in there. I'm a crock pot user. So they say dog's man's best friend, but I don't have any dogs. So that crock pot is my best friend. So chicken, vegetables, cauliflower, rice. And next thing you know, I've got 10 meals in Tupperwares. So super boring eater. And then I like anything to do with the water. As you know, 4th of July, I learned how to kiteboard. So I'm starting to pick that up. I love boating. I love going to the beach. Anything that the water and the sand is there. I'll give you two fun facts from a family standpoint. My dad, my brother, and I are all named Lester. So weird. Most people like don't understand it. In Latin culture, it's not uncommon for a name to be repeated a lot. But my parents took it to the nth degree. And so my brother and I, who are very close, we both have the name Lester. And I always say too, because I'm fascinated how many people in our business are, I'm left-handed. And so I don't know if that means anything, but I've seen a lot of people in our business that's left-handed.
That's very interesting. So you're competing with the George Foreman. Didn't George Foreman have a bunch of kids that were George, yeah, George Jr., George III?
I think he had seven, and even his daughter's name was like Georgina or something, George, you know, whatever.
Excellent. Excellent. No, that's awesome, Lester. And again, we're talking about mental health here today, and many people, we bring this up just about in every show, how many people still think that they've got to get this diagnosis, right? That they're depressed or that they've got some long-term mental health condition for them to take action. That really isn't the case. We can go through life, and just life itself can impact our mental health. So really, I'm going to hand that mic over to you for a more extended time to really get in and share whatever story you want to share about that mental health challenge and what was involved in that, as well as what were some things you did to get success. So really, it's yours.
Yeah, you know, I think the word that comes to mind when I think about this is loss, right? Before age 40, I lost both my parents. And, you know, I think there's two types of people, right? There are people that allow something to cripple them. And there's people that, you know, take that same exact situation and move it into fuel and fire. For the good and the bad, I have always, from the time I can remember, and this apple didn't fall far from the tree, my parents both were the life of the party. Like, we're Latin, right? We're Puerto Rican. We're loud. We're obnoxious. We're in your face. There's no such thing as personal space. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to kiss you. Like, that's just the thing. Men, women, I don't care. Like, I'm a hugger, yeah, all of it. And so it's funny that my brother and I have talked about this because we both share kind of, if you're having an average day as a Morales boy, people always ask what's wrong. If it's just like you're even, right? Because normally I'm like this, right? This is my normal. And so if you're just even, it's always like, what's wrong? And, you know, when you go and experience a traumatic issue, that what's wrong obviously leads to, I don't want to talk about it right this second. So, you know, it was for a while, you know, it happened. So my mom, I'm a huge mama's boy. My mom died August 11th. So we just celebrated the 5-year anniversary at 11:11 PM. There's no doubt in my mind that was exactly the date and the time that she wanted to go. And then a month later, I live in San Juan, Puerto Rico, Hurricane Maria, a Category 5 hurricane. Now, Hurricane Maria, my mom's name was Maria. So, like, first of all, those coincidences, again, not a coincidence. Our big joke in our family was, mom was feisty, but holy schnispies, she took it to the next level there. So Cat 5 hurricane. So in the house that I'm standing in right now, I had 3 feet of water inside of my house. I had 3 fish in the swimming pool. My house was obviously destroyed. In my office building, we lost 37 windows. I had employees that lost everything. I couldn't get a hold of employees for a while. And obviously this island was destroyed. That happened 4 weeks after my mom died. So I look back and I say, you know, again, loss plus loss, but I got to tell you, it was a saving grace that I didn't have the time to wallow in losing my mind. And so, you know, it was interesting. For the next 4 months, it got into fight or flight. I'm a fighter, always. Yellow light, hit the gas. Like, you know, it's just that that's just the way I am. So it wasn't until about the end of the following year. So now we're into 2018. My old business partners and I had a complete disagreement about how we were going to treat employees here. So I walked away from that business. It cost me $5 million. Wow. And, but it was one of those things that you have to look at yourself in a mirror, and there's a mirror right there. You have to look at yourself in the mirror and be proud of who you look at in the mirror. And, you know, John, that is when I realized I didn't cope with what happened. I lose mom. I start getting busy. I put all my time and attention. We raised millions of dollars. I cold called thousands of people who owned planes to try to get to borrow their planes so I could bring supplies into Puerto Rico. I slept in sleeping bags in the back of my car. We didn't have power for 4 months. And all of that, although hard, in hindsight, that was the ability to just shield myself off as to the permanent, right? The absolute that is loss. And, you know, I'll tell you, it was a business coach that I had, Steve Napolitan, that his wife, the first time she met me, I guess she could tell about like how I was carrying this fake energy. And she goes, you're carrying some stuff. You need to work on that. And I would have never, you know, I thought I was just me, right? Like I am high strung. I'm, you know, I'm this guy. And so we had a conversation and it was complete meltdown for me, like complete meltdown. And when I dug deeper, it was the guilt that I was carrying because of the loss, not because of the loss. I look back and the loss I had of my parents, I have two distinct loss guilt. And what I mean by that is my dad and I had a strained relationship for a couple of years. And then at the end we mended, but it's always the, I wonder if what, I wish I could have what. With my mom, I'm a workaholic and I started traveling like this. You know, I probably do between 150 and 200 nights a year in the hotel for the last, you know, 12, 15 years. And I have this guilt of, should I have lived a different life? Like I didn't get to spend as many days with either of them as I could. Now, they were both my biggest fans. right? From the time I was, you know, Abraham Lincoln in the second grade play to every science project, you know, Puerto Rican Abraham Lincoln, don't forget that. You know, all of those, they were my biggest fans. So I know that they were super proud of me. But if you ask me, like, hey, that mental health thing that like really gets you, it's that guilt and that wonder of, my God, I know right now I would give anything for one more dinner, one more conversation, one, you know, everything. And so when you start replaying it, you're like, but did I live a selfish life? Right. And that intersection, like I feel emotional right now, even thinking about it, like that intersection, because you can never go back and change it. Right. That absolute of death, right, is that thing. And so if I think about that, like that's that one thing that I'll always keep in the back of my mind. Like, I wonder if and what to do about that.
Yeah. And there was, I know Andy Stanley once said, the past does not define us, it refines us. And I guess my question, my one follow-up question is, how much has your past really refined you? I mean, because it could be easy. I know you well enough to believe you don't stay in that guilt mentality, but that you take it to a standpoint of leveraging that, right? For like a lesson learned in the gym, you can learn from that experience to be better, to make a greater impact. So how much has that played a part of who Lester is today, leveraging your past to make a greater impact than others?
If there was a number higher than 100, it would be that number. My company is called Next Impact, right? Like that word is such a big deal. And I'm, you know, it's funny. September 14th of 2019 was A, my 40th birthday, and B, the first time off of the stage I ever told my story. Hmm. About my parents, about why I did what I did. Because some people would look at me, JT, and think, you were the chief growth officer for the third largest insurance consulting firm in the world. You were 32 when you got that job. Like, why would you ever leave and try to go do it the easy way? And, you know, so like, it was kind of one of those things. It's like, man, like, it's not money. I was making actually probably more money then than I'm making now. There was always something missing. And when my mom got diagnosed, she was the one that gave me the motivation. She was the one that said, you're always talking about a better way of doing it. If this ain't the sign that life isn't forever. And, you know, people always say that, like, hey, live like tomorrow's not going to be there. It's so hard. Right. Whether it's like, oh, I'll call them later or I'll get to that later. And there's times in all of our lives that we have those moments that remind us that later might not be there, but it's still hard. Right. You're always like thinking about today. You're thinking about the now. You're thinking about that next project, that next meeting, that next whatever. So it's a really interesting dynamic between thinking about the future and trying to play the long game, but also the reality of the immediacy of things. And so, you know, I think for me, what that refinement ended up personifying out of me was I don't care what anybody else thinks. Give and you will attract. So it has spawned a person who is far more into personal development than I ever was. I never meditated before. I never had a personal coach or a business coach, or I never did that. I never listened to podcasts, don't read books. And now, you know, I've had multiple coaches. I probably spend $60,000-$70,000 a year on coaches. I think I saw this morning that I'm 47 days in a row meditating. And so again, you take a, you know, wiry Puerto Rican and tell them to sit still for 10 minutes. Like, that's a hard thing. And because of my business coach, Steve's wife, she said, I want you to lean into it. And I was like, huh? She's like, I want you to think about your mom's death. And I want you to, every time you get sad, I want you to think about it even more. And so there was a good year and a half that every week on Sunday, my meditation was thinking about her. And that's not cool. Like, I'll tell you, it is not a comfortable thing. Like, you're thinking about the thing that when you think about it makes you sad, and you're purposefully thinking about it. But what it allows you to do is truly cope. I tell everybody when they ask me, like, how'd you do it? It's like, it hurts. Like, last or two Thursdays ago, when it was the 5-year anniversary, I was on stage speaking. I was hosting a boot camp for advisors, and I cried in front of people 7 times. You get okay with it, right? You get a little more. So that refinement was, I don't give a shit what somebody else thinks. Quite honestly, like, I said something, it sparked something, or I'm sitting there and I'm reading what people are writing on Facebook and on LinkedIn, because I wake up every day wanting to honor them. And so I'm okay throwing it out there. And like that vulnerability, you start to realize, like, that's how you and I develop such a good relationship, right? You start to realize who are people that, shoot, maybe you've never even met them before, because I was, you know, we were friends before I even met you. But that vulnerability comes from the ability to understand and draw that motivation out of a very dark time. And, you know, I think my brother and I both have dealt with it differently, but that's what we've come out with it, you know, from is, hey, it's, I mean, dude, I can't tell you. I remember one time my mom was Puerto Rican, but raised in the Bronx, and that musical In the Heights, I watched it on an American Airlines flight, dude. I'm crying all over the flight attendant's like, are you okay? I'm like, completely cool. Like, I'm fine. And like, you just become okay a little bit more with being in your own skin and all that, but it's, you become better at that vulnerability. And I think, you know, that's what's allowed my business to grow. It's what allowed me to be okay with less is more, less friends, more people that, you know, kind of understand you. And so when I ever get somebody that's like, I'm in a fight with my mom or dad, I'm like, call them right now. Squash that shit. Like, it's not worth it, because you don't know what tomorrow is. It doesn't mean that you have to get stepped on or let somebody abuse you or whatever. But the reality of it is, like, we're just humans, man. Mm-hmm. Everyone's just trying to be the best version of themselves. Some people are better at it than others. But that's that vulnerability. I think if I recap the last, you know, 10 minutes of babble that I just did, it really comes back to coping and leaning into a miserable scenario allowed me to become okay with vulnerability, and that I don't have to be this macho Puerto Rican. You know, that's very Latin culture. We don't cry. We don't talk about our feelings. Like, my dad didn't, you know, we didn't say I loved you at the house a lot. Like, it's a, and now, like, my brother and I go to change that. So now, like, when he and I talk, it's like, love you, dude. Or my niece is like, hey, I'll text them, you know, they're in middle of fifth grade. And I'm like, love you, baby. I just wanted you to know that. Like, those are things that vulnerability allows you to kind of be okay looking backwards and being okay with what happened, but more so forward of, because of this, now what? And that now what to me is, there's no doubt in my mind when people are like, what's the end game for you? I want to leave a legacy. Like, I want my family, whether I have kids on my own or not, but my nieces and my community, my friends, like, I want everybody to be like in a better spot because of something that I was able to do. And I want generations from now to, like, not like know who I am in like an arrogant way, but like, you know, be about something that somebody else later on picks up and says, wow, that helped. And hopefully takes them to a level that didn't. And I look at that now, and I can 100% tell you the number one advantage of having both of my parents pass. And that sounds really weird. is I have been able to have the talk with both of them on their deathbed, literally laying next to them saying, you know, I wouldn't be the person that I am today without you. And I can't imagine, you know, as a parent or as a human, just hearing that from somebody else, like that's life is complete. And so I think about that, like I'm not married. I don't have any kids. So I don't know that I'll ever have that, you know, create a human for them to tell me that. But if I know that the things that I can put out that of this world impact people's lives and that their life is better because of something I did, then I get to look up and be like, you know, that's something that I learned from them.
That is absolutely beautiful and so powerful of what you're doing and all the things you're working on and the impact you're making really around the world, quite frankly, right, with all that you're doing. Just to go back in time a little bit, Lester, I know you said that there was a person who noticed you. That's something that's very powerful with people, whether it's a whatever that mental health challenge might be. Oftentimes we don't see it ourselves. We're not walking around with a broken arm or a leg, right? And it takes someone else to notice. So that's fantastic that they took the time to notice that and to pull you aside or whatever that might have looked like. What did that look like for you in a timeline? I know you mentioned that, you know, it took some time to process that. And you went on that wonderful explanation of all the things you're currently doing. But what was that in between time like? Because I think there's a, let's just be real about this. We're going to have a lot of people watching this, listening, who've lost someone very close to them. And they might do some guilt on themselves for maybe not acting the right way or responding the right way. Maybe the time frame. You explained something very powerful there. I believe you said it was 4 weeks of time till someone pulled you aside. So what did that in between time look like for you to come to the realization, you know what, these are some things I need to do?
Oh man, no, it was way longer than 4 weeks. I mean, mom died in 2017, and this was probably early 2019. And so those 2 years, I did what most, especially Latin, but definitely men would do, is bury that shit. Right? Not talk about it. When anybody else, you know, would say anything about it, I'd be like, I'm cool. You're completely fine. Now, the good news about that for me, I have an obsessive personality. Like I want to be the best at it. So like I've never done drugs because I'd love it probably. Right? It's like, you kind of got to know yourself and be like, I would be a coke addict if it made me feel like Superman. Right? Like, so it's like, you don't get into that. So for me, it really also allowed me to get super disciplined in my life about certain things. I would say it's created some bad habits. I'm a workaholic. My business is somewhat my identity. So there's some pros and cons, but I just was there. And so like if other people would say, were you emotionally available? Hell no. Were you vulnerable? No. I had a brick wall around me. And it was everything I had not to put myself in a situation that made me think about it. And from the outside, most people, and this is the pro and the con about being that guy who's energetic and people expect to be the life of the party, you get the, hey, you doing okay? And to avoid that, then you got to come up and show up and act. But it is an act. You're putting on a mask and like, dude, I cried for 2 hours in bed this morning. You put on your, not this morning, but like that was an example, right? You put on your suit and tie and it's like Superman just put on his cape. And to the outside world, most people would be like, I can't believe this guy just went through. I mean, in 6 months, dude, I lost my mom. My island was destroyed. My house was destroyed. My office was destroyed. My business partnership was destroyed. It cost me a ton of money. And you know, that all happened in 6 months. And I live down here by myself. My brother is, you know, still in Tampa. And so you're just dead. And that's, I mean, I guess it's better than being destructive, but it's equally destructive. You're eating yourself from the inside rather than the outside forces. And she took it and it was like, you know, it was like, hey, you're too hard. Right? Like there's no soul in that. And gosh, I'm so glad that they're such a perceptive person, because meeting me 5 minutes later. She's like, you're carrying some stuff. So just think about like how hard that negative energy, what must have been, you know, protruding out of me, that somebody who's never met me before, who I'm paying her husband, you know, if I got offended by that, I might've just walked out and never gone to it again. But for me, obviously, the world, the universe, the Lord put me right there at that very moment with enough ability to be vulnerable and be like, yeah. And for that week was one of the hardest weeks of camp I ever had to do. But it was working on some stuff that I would tell you, I don't know that I ever would have thought that I would have personally done, because I'm one of those people that pride myself of, you know, being resilient and being tenacious.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And again, we're going to have a lot of people watching, listening to this, who've lost someone very recently, perhaps, or in the past year or the past 2 years. What might, from looking back at your experience, what are some words of insight, words of wisdom you would share with them to say, you know what, if I could do it over, and I'm not talking regret necessarily, because I think there's, you know, we can look back through a certain set of lenses and say, you know what, I may have done things a little differently because of experience. What might you give to someone now who's in a similar situation, having lost a parent, having lost a loved one, to better themselves moving forward?
And I now search out when I see somebody on LinkedIn or Facebook that post like I just lost somebody, like I make it a habit to direct message them. Susan Combs and I will message each other, you know, at like 5 or 6 in the morning when she's having a bad day or I'm having a bad day about it. And the first one is, let yourself feel. You're not a robot. Like, be okay with that. If you got to cry, cry. And I don't care where you are, cry. I get angry sometimes. So like, you know, if you got to punch a wall, probably not the best way, but find some way to exert that negative energy, right? So I think that like, just let yourself, give yourself that grace that you have feelings, because I think I tried to put on that Superman cape and didn't want to feel. And so how I responded to that was, you know, the Superman cape and go and do it. And you didn't feel, because once you start feeling, you start healing. And it's not forgetting. You will never forget. You'll never get over it. You just learn how to adapt with it. And then the second piece for me is make it your motivator. Right? Turn that negative light into that positive light. So, you know, I do this business. I wake up every day and I'm okay saying it all day long. And if you've heard my story, you're going to hear it again every time I'm on stage. It's I do this to honor my parents. It is a motivating factor. And so when I'm waking up in the morning and feel like, ugh, I'm kind of tired, I don't know how motivated I am today, I think about that. Like, hey, what's the why? Right? So it's turned into such a big motivator. And then I think the last one is, don't let their legacy die. Right. So like, you know, people sometimes be like, I can't believe you share so personal stuff and throw it out there for everybody. I'm like, I want people to know my parents were badass and like they did the sacrifices for all those parents that are out there, you know, sacrificing today. They're doing it for a result of hopefully bettering the lives of those people. So I look at it and say, not only am I honoring my parents, but maybe somebody who is thinking, man, is this sacrifice that I'm doing, you know, going to pay off? And I want parents to know, like, eventually your kids, as pain in the ass as they might be, will come back around and be like, hey, yo, I get it. I get why I had to do my chores. I get why I had to go, you know, clean offices and toilets with dad at 7 years old on his, you know, night job. I see all that. And you start to, although you kick and scream your whole growing up of, I don't want to be my parents, you start to realize that that apple doesn't fall far from that tree. And so those three things are things like, be okay to feel, make it your motivation, and celebrate the hell out of those people. And those things for me have made it to where I think I'm at a healthy spot with that loss.
That's very helpful. And I really appreciate your transparency. We're going to go backwards again, if you don't mind, one more question here before we wrap things up. And I mean, you and I talk about it a lot. We're there at the gym, Zero Dark 30, but it's more than that, right? It's not just work. You do a number of things on a set schedule, on a set routine. I know I had Andy Neary on here, had some other professional athletes on. They talked about, you know, those habits they have and those pregame things. How, if you don't mind sharing, how much does do your habits play a part in your mental health success? And if you don't mind, give us a snapshot of what that might look like, because I think there's some others out there who could really benefit from seeing that on a regular basis.
Yeah, you know, I think that the word discipline or routine or all that might get a misconception as A, boring, and B, you know, almost like, hey, like, relax, dude, like live life. But I think it's just the opposite, that, you know, the hard work that needs to be done is being okay understanding what is the life that you want to live and what is that purpose that you want to drive. And so if you do that hard work, then you could start making the decisions to make sure that every day you're getting a little bit closer to that thing. And so for me, my morning routine is huge. And you know, Andy and I are boys, obviously, so I understand that the morning routine. So mine's a 4 to 4:30 wake up. It is automatically going to stop. Usually I don't even need an alarm clock, but let's say the alarm clock rang. It's a meditation automatically. So I'm trying to still be in my sleepy mode where I'm in my subconscious. I typically do a meditation about, you know, either energy, gratitude, abundance, you know, something. If I'm feeling something like I woke up cranky, I'll like try to find something. They're typically guided. Like I'm not Yoda master yet where I can, you know, get into that zone without, you know, somebody walking me through that. That happens. A boy always makes his bed when he gets out of bed. I don't care if I'm in the hotel bed. So it's always make the bed. Cold shower, brush teeth, pre-workout, workout. That is 95% of mornings, no matter what. Now, as I'm bathing, pre-workout and post-workout, I'm consuming something. So I wear waterproof headphones. Shout out to Aftershocks because I love them. I literally will listen to a podcast, typically about mindset in the morning, before the exercise, and then typically about a skill set, leadership, sales and marketing, you know, something after that. I'm usually protein shaked or breakfast and behind this desk by 6:30. And then I do my MITs before 9:30. So most important tasks, I am one that says if I can get these three or four things accomplished, I'm way more creative in the morning. So I'm usually doing podcast ideas, my presentations. I record a lot of my videos there or something in the morning. And then two other things that I just, you know, do. I schedule now my fun time. I didn't do that before. And so that was something that I kind of learned and picked up. It's like, you give me the option, I'm probably going to work. I got to protect me against me. So that's also being okay with being okay with the person that you look in the mirror. Like I have faults. My faults is I work too much. And so I need to protect me against that. So I will schedule my fun time. Hey, I'm going to be okay working on a Saturday till 11 o'clock, but then I'm going to go meet people for a boozy brunch and knock down 10, you know, mimosas later. So, you know, it's being okay that that rigidness can come to your advantage of scheduling that. And so like I schedule FaceTimes with my niece or talks with my brother and do that. So that rigidness goes, but my morning routine, especially with the mental health and the physical health, is such a big part of what allows me to take on, you know, the rest of the day.
That's beautiful and so helpful. I mean, it's, you know, thinking about Nancy Giacalone's podcast, Recipe for Success, right? There is a recipe out there and it's not just for business. It's also for life. So it's so valuable for you to share that. I know a lot of people struggle in setting and keeping those type of daily routines, but there's, I mean, I personally have experienced the exact same thing. And a lot of the things you're talking about, I do. I don't necessarily have that order identical, but we're very, very similarly wired. So I really appreciate you sharing that. If someone's watching here or listening here for the first time, they want to reach out to Lester, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Yeah, so obviously on LinkedIn, Lester J. Morales, because if you get Lester Morales, you're getting my brother. I am the taller, better, handsome looking one than he is. So Lester J. Morales, the J is for Joshua. And then our website is nextimpactllc.com. Shameless plug, my podcast is impacthealthcare.com, or Impact Healthcare is the name of the podcast. We talk about the people and the strategies that are impacting health benefits. And you are going to be a guest on mine next. So that is what's going to be there. But that's where you find me, man.
That's awesome. And final thoughts as we wrap things up here, Lester, anything you want to say to our audience before we close here today?
Yeah. You know, I first of all, I'm going to thank you, right? Like, you know, somebody who's always promoting, like being okay, like, you know, admitting that you're in the shit, like that's cool. I don't know if I'm supposed to say shit on your podcast, but sure. I have a couple of times. So, I'm sorry for little ears. But like, you know, I wish the world was a little bit, especially in the male macho, right, that we're all okay, you know, expressing that. So, you know, kudos to you and your company for, like, you know, bringing that obviously to the forefront. And then on the flip side, to anybody listening, like, man, it doesn't matter how ego driven you are. I think most people look at me and be like, that guy's fairly arrogant. Like, we all have our shit. You go through it. Like, nobody is beyond that. And I think the day you become really comfortable with it is the day you also understand that it's going to be there. The baggage is going to be here. I hold it in my backpack, but I control it. It doesn't control me. Hmm. And so I think that once you be okay with it, now you learn how to live with it and you control it rather than the other way around.
That's fantastic. And again, I want to thank you so much for joining us here today. This is huge. It's coming at a very important time of the year for those people who are watching, listening. Fourth quarter can be very crazy, and it doesn't mean it has to make us crazy, right? So I just want to thank you. It means a lot. You become a very good friend, and I believe brother from a different mother. So thank you so much for taking this time today.
My pleasure, man. My pleasure.
And before you turn this off here today, friends, I just want to throw out a couple of bullets in case you're catching this lastly, or you're just jumping in at the last moment. A couple of key takeaways from this podcast episode. Lester said this: there was someone who noticed, somebody took notice, and they took the time to approach them. I want to challenge and encourage everyone out there. If someone's doing that for you, you're going through something, when it comes to your mental health, you may not always understand what you're doing. And when it's someone who genuinely cares, reaches out to you, take notice. And kudos to Lester for taking that action. Again, some things that he said: we can either let those things from our past cripple us, or we can leverage it to be better. And again, what a wonderful story and great illustrations and bullets that he gave us about what he did. He came to the realization that he wasn't coping. How many of us could raise our hand to that one at some point in business and life when things have gone sideways, right? So again, very powerful. Being okay in your own skin. You know, many advisors want to look at this agency. They want to look at that other broker. They look at that competitor. Our greatest competitor is the person looking back at us in the mirror. And when we can take ownership for that, we will be better and feel better. And you need to revisit this podcast again and listen to it again to get the amount of gold of content that Lester shared with us to impact your mental health. So thank you, everyone, for watching, for listening today, and take action for you, because your mental health matters. Let's make it a great one.